just like the Lord, so very much like Jesus.
This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the word today. Now, here is our pastor.
The book of Luke, chapter 2, I am especially indebted to Dr. John Henry Jowett, who ministered as a pastor and preacher in England for most of his life and spent a few years in New York City. He was a master of the English language. And we've been talking about language recently in our biblical worldview course. Language is extremely important, and don't let a slovenly and lazy culture dumb down your language. Read the dictionary. Dr. Jowett read the dictionary in his spare time. Language is very, very important. And it was John Henry Jowett who wrote a sentence that gave me a concept for his sermon. We're coming in at Luke number 2 and verse 4. All right. Would you follow along, please, as I read. Luke 2, 4. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth in Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed, that is, enrolled, written down for the purposes of taxation with Mary, his espoused, promised, engaged wife, being great or large with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that Mary should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped them in swaddling clothes and laid them in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now turn, please, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1. And I'd like us to read responsively verses 1 through 4. Hebrews 1, 1 through 4. I'll read the first verse, and will you please read the second? And I'll read the third, and then we'll read the fourth together, please. Hebrews 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry or various times, different times, and in diverse different manners or ways, situations, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image. There is substance and extent. That's one of the verses that is a good verse to use with respect to the deity of Christ. You have exact sameness in substance, and you have exact sameness in extent. In extent, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image, just like the Caesar would press his seal, and everything on the seal of the ring would be in the wax. Express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, that's our Lord's crucifixion on the cross, substitutionary atonement, he sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." Thank you. You read it well. I appreciate your keen response. My text is Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2a. God, he's the subject, God hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. God in these last days hath spoken unto us by his Son. I believe that you'll agree that any time someone speaks, whether for a brief moment or a longer period, that speaking may be fairly, justly called a speech. Anytime anybody speaks, whether it's husband to wife or one student to another, whether it be for a brief moment or a longer time, that speaking may be justly, fairly called a speech. In the New Testament, the phrase "last days" is like a pair of bookends. Last days is a term that is something like bookends. And when you see that phrase, think of bookends. The phrase "last days" refers to the era all the way from the first coming of our Lord at Bethlehem, about which you read just a few moments ago. The last days refers all the way from the first coming of our Lord at Bethlehem to his second coming to judge an incorrigibly wicked and rebellious world. I want to speak to you today on this subject. The speech that changed the world forever. The speech that changed the world forever. When we hear the phrase, "the speech that changed the world," we might at first be inclined to think of the acclaimed Gettysburg Address, which Abraham Lincoln delivered on November 19, 1863, 4.5 months after the Battle of Gettysburg. President Lincoln rode a train, and he wrote on an envelope as he took the long train ride from Washington out to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. He went there to deliver the speech at the dedication of the cemetery that held the remains of fallen soldiers from both the Union Army and the Confederate Army. It took a long while to bury the bodies. It was a very deadly battle. And they buried the bodies, they began to create a cemetery, and then they felt it fitting, and certainly it was, to have a dedication service for that cemetery at Gettysburg. I have been there. I'm sure that some in this room have also been there. It's a very somber and, for me, holy place, because so many went to meet their Maker. The featured speaker on the occasion of the dedication of the cemetery at Gettysburg, the featured speaker was Edward Everett, famous orator, and I suppose he knew it. He was a famous orator and the former dean of Harvard University. He spoke for 2 hours. Do you think he knew he was a famous orator? Thank you. Some of you are smiling. When it was finally President Abraham Lincoln's turn to speak, he rose and said 272 memorable words in 2 to 3 minutes. The first speaker's address is completely forgotten, and President Lincoln's address is memorialized and known around the world. Or, when we hear the title, "that speech that changed the world," our minds might be drawn to the celebrated address that Winston Churchill brought when he was invited to go back to his old boarding school, which he hated. He was an unusual young man. He was picked on. He wasn't tall and handsome. He was short and unconventional. But by this time, he was becoming famous. And so the school at Harrow invited Winston Churchill to come back to visit his old boarding school and address the students. So Churchill went back to Harrow on October 29, 1941. His speech was not 2 hours long. It was wisely 20 minutes long. The words that are memorialized from that 20-minute speech are the words, "Never give in. Never, never, never." Those are the words that are remembered from that speech. Never give in. Never, never, never. I would submit, however, that though these speeches by Lincoln and Winston Churchill changed the world, they only changed the world for a brief period of time, perhaps a few decades. I would suggest to you that the speech that changed the world forever is God's speech mentioned here in Hebrews 1:1. This is God's speech, and it changed the world forever. God, who at sundry times, various times, in diverse manners, spake in time past to the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. Now that is the speech that changed the world, not just for a few decades, but forever. And the speech that changed the world forever is the person of Jesus, God's Son, who came and became a man so that he could shed the sinless blood of God and pay a perfect atoning price to purchase forgiveness of sins for all who will trust only in the merits of the blood of that same Jesus. Have you ever trusted the Lord as your own Savior? You can be reared in a Christian home. You can be a member of a church. You could be a member, certainly, of this church. You could go through all the celebrations of Christmas and go to hell. Have you depended upon the person who was the message of history's greatest speech? The one who changed the world forever. He changed the calendar. If you want to study this amazing truth for yourself, I recommend a book entitled, "What If Jesus Had Never Been Born? What If Jesus Had Never Been Born?" It's by Dr. D. James Kennedy, who was a fabulous Presbyterian pastor at the Coral Ridge Presbyterian Church in South Florida. Get that book or borrow it. What if Christ had never been born? Well, thank God he was born. And he, as the speech of the Heavenly Father, changed the world forever. You take the name of Jesus out of history, many, many hospitals would suddenly, poof, be gone. Take the name of Jesus out of world history, and many of the celebrated Ivy League schools, like Harvard and Yale, would suddenly disappear from the map. The campuses would evaporate. These wonderful, benevolent institutions exist because of the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is the speech from heaven. He is the Father's speech who changed the world, not for just a short time, even a century, but forever. from a situation of stinking manure and straw or hay laced with manure. From a stinking situation, God grew the greatest speech that has ever been known to the world and human history. This speech was 33 and a half years long. Not as short as Lincoln's, not as short as Churchill's. This speech that changed the world forever was 33 and a half years long. It has never been equaled and never will be equaled. No Demosthenes, the articulate Greek orator, no Demosthenes or Cicero or Patrick Henry, give me liberty or give me death. No William Jennings Bryan, no Martin Luther King Jr. has ever made a speech as eloquent and perfect as this speech that changed the world forever. This speech echoes like the pristine and clarion call of a thousand silver bells across the centuries, warning individuals of judgment and at the same time inviting people to kneel at the cross of our Lord and to appropriate His shed blood to their own heart. This is the clarion speech that has echoed for more than 2,000 years. Notice with me, first of all, the speech that changed the world forever was human language. It was human language. Turn to John chapter 1. Turn to John chapter 1. The speech that changed the world forever was human language. I'm seeing on the television news, and this ought to break our hearts, and I'm sure it does. I'm seeing these robots that have been built for police departments. And the concept is that the police will send robots in to a bomb scare, or if there is a domestic dispute where they're screaming and hollering and shots, the police will send in a robot so that the human being is not killed. Have we really come to this in Western culture? Have we really come to this? I don't know about you, but I would far rather speak to a person than a robot. When I was a young boy, I asked my parents for a little robot, and he looked so big. He looked so big behind the glass of the only hardware in town. He was silver. And your generation, with all your transformers and all that stuff and all of these electronic things that I see in the electronic catalogs for Christmas toys, you never had it good like I did. I would press my nose against the window pane of that hardware and look at it, and someone would come and press a button and I suppose he could turn around. I don't remember because I got so disappointed. I mean, I thought he was going to be like Mickey Mouse or something, and throw around and sing a little. And I was just so disappointed about my robot. I wanted someone that could interact with me in more ways. The speech that changed history forever is a speech that was made in human language. In the beginning was the Word. There it is. Language. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. The speech that changed the world forever was human language. It was incarnate, that is, in flesh. That's what incarnate means. We read that down in verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So, Jesus, God the Father's speech that changed the world, it was human language, not robot language. And it was language that every nation in all of history can understand. Oh, the Bible may need to be translated into a dialect for a tribe in Cameroon, but it can be translated, and it's human language. And then number two, the speech from the Heavenly Father, which changed the world forever, was my language. It was language. It was a speech that was communicable and eventually writable. But it wasn't just human language. It was my language. It was my language. For how many of you is English your second language? For how many of you is English? Anybody? All right, thank you. Oh, all right. What's your first language? Arabic. That's great. That's wonderful. That's good. I studied a little Greek. I studied a little Greek in Bible college. You know, and the Greek language alphabet goes like this. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon. And I'm afraid I wouldn't do very well with Arabic. I'm afraid I wouldn't do well with Arabic because I was so poor in Greek. I had to do this. And with some other fellows in the dorm, we did this. Alpha, beta, gamma, delta, epsilon. When you learn the second language, it's hard. And we ought to have sympathy for those who meet, those who come to our school, who have to learn a second language. But God the Father's speech that changed the world forever was my language. And His speech is your language too. Whether you have a strident voice, a raspy voice like mine, or whether your voice is deep and bass, or mellow and alto, or high and shrill. God's speech that changed the world forever is our language. And then note also, the speech that changed the world forever was common. It was common, understandable speech. Turn please to Mark. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter number 12 and verse 37. Read this verse with me, please. The first word is going to be David when you find it. Mark 12:37. Remember, through the first half of the verse, our Lord is speaking. Some of you have a red letter edition of the Scriptures. And as soon as you can afford to get a red letter edition, I recommend that you get it. It helps to see when Jesus is speaking. Let's read 37 together. David therefore himself called him Lord. And whence is he then his son? And the common people heard him cry. Time does not permit me to explain the logic that Jesus was using here to refute and confute the scribes and Pharisees. What I have time for, however, is that last note by the inspired Mark, the common people heard him gladly. The common people heard him gladly. You know, people make more of IQ than people should. People make more of IQ. Never look up and flatter a person because he or she has a high IQ, and never despise or think of a person who has a lower IQ. Never despise a person like that. Jesus came to us speaking common words. Common words. The common people heard him gladly. Now, the common words of Jesus reminds us that he's cut from common human cloth. He's cut from common human cloth. He's cut from human flesh. So he understands it when you're disappointed because of a grade you get on a test or a quiz. He understands it. He understands it when a medical challenge comes into your life. He understands it if you have a disability. Remember that one day he was so weary. Just so weary. He sat on the well. He just was fully human. 100% human, 100% God. That's called the hypostatic union. God the Father's speech that changed the world forever was common speech. He was tempted in all points, like as we are, but without sin. You say, well, Pastor, does that mean he had every single temptation that every human being was ever born had? I don't think it has to mean exactly that, to be literally too true. I believe it means he was tempted in every major area. All of our temptations fall under three categories. Every temptation I will ever face or you will ever face falls under one of three categories. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And if you go up there on that bleak, dry hill, they wouldn't be mountains as we think of them when we think of our Rockies. I'm talking about the Holy Land. Where Jesus went to be tempted, he was tempted in all three major areas in which we're tempted. Now, a temptation may be a combination of the two. Could be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. It could be the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. But every temptation you have, and if you'll learn those three things, it will help you. You can't ever face Jesus at the Bema, the judgment seat, and say, well, I didn't know. Yes, I'm telling you, every temptation you'll ever have is one of, or a combination of, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. So Jesus understands that. He was tempted in all points, like as we, yet without sin. The speech was common language. No need for you to say, well, Jesus doesn't understand how weary I get at school. Or, Jesus doesn't understand that sometimes I think my dad is wrong. Sometimes I think my mom is wrong. And I have to obey them. Welcome to the club of King Jesus. The Bible says he went down to his home and was subject to Joseph and Mary. Welcome to the club. Jesus not only obeyed his heavenly Father, he obeyed his earthly mother and the one I will call his stepfather. And so the speech from the heavenly Father was common language. And then turn to Matthew 23. I must come to a close here soon. Matthew 23. Matthew 23, 1. I'm going to read selected verses here. Matthew 23, 1. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples. Here's speaking. Here's the word making another speech. Now go down to verse 23. He's still speaking. He's speaking the speech that God the Heavenly Father gave them. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. They were tithing their spices. They were tithing, as it were, their cinnamon and their aloes. But you've omitted the weightier, heavier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other under. Ye blind guides, which you restrain, you cough, you spit at a gnat, a tiny little fly, but you go ahead and swallow a camel because your value system is so skewed. Let me give this to you as well, then. The speech that changed the world forever was perceptive. It was perceptive and honest speech. It was perceptive and honest speech. This word of this speech from the Heavenly Father perceived the thoughts and the motives, the intentions of the hearts of the scribes and Pharisees. Don't get bitter if the teacher corrects you. You're going to have a lot more of it. If you're average, you'll have a lot more correction before you go home to heaven if you're saved, and go to hell if you're not saved. Don't despise correction. Jesus said, you're blind guides. You're hypocrites. Do right. Get your heart right. Get a proper motive. The speech that changed the world forever was perceptive and honest speech. Well, one last thing. Turn to John 14:10, and then I will stop. John 14:10. John 14. John 14:10. Here, the great eternal speaker, the great eternal word, is still speaking in this 33-and-a-half-year-old speech from God the Father. Jesus said, it's a question. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. The speech from the Heavenly Father, the speech from the Father that changed the world forever, reveals to us the heart of God. The speech reveals to us the heart of God. Jesus said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. So this speech that changed the world forever is human speech. It's common language. It's understandable language. It's perceptive. It's honest speaking. But it reveals to us the heart of God.
Isn't that just like the Lord? So very much like Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.